Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now today we're going to continue on our series of videos for our men's group through our local church here. We run monthly men's breakfast. We get to come together, have a great breakfast, share the word and discuss what we've been talking about, how it's relevant, how we can apply it in today's life. So I like to do these as videos also because then that gives those who couldn't make it, perhaps work or other commitments, opportunity to also get the message. Hi guys, thanks so much for joining me. And then perhaps maybe for others, perhaps you from further afar, overseas, wherever. And look, thank you if that is the case also for coming and joining with us. But today we're going to look at Psalm chapter 1. And I will ask if you have a Bible handy, please grab it. Look up the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to go through these different points here. And then, yes, we will do as we always do. I'll read the scripture. Then we'll look at some of the discussion notes. And then we will ask the question, is this, how is this relevant in today's society? I mean, we are now thousands of years since these words were written. Hard for us to even get our mind around that type of time. But knowing, of course, that all Scripture is inspired by God through the Holy Spirit, and that all Scripture is good for instruction, for correction, and of course, instruction in righteousness. So let's have a look. I will read through Psalm chapter 1. And then we'll dig into it. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, for today's discussion's sake, we're only going to be looking at those first three verses, and that's because of time for a men's breakfast. If this were a Sunday morning, then yes, we'd continue on. So for the reading, I will continue on, but for now, we look at those first three. But verse 4 says, the ungodly, not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, verse 6. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so having these first three verses that we have here allows me to take a little creative license and say, I'm going to give this a title. And I'm going to call it The Three Pillars of a Christ-Centered Life. Interesting title because, of course, this was written many, many hundreds of years before the Messiah, Christ. But for us now to make it, of course, it has to be relevant. Three pillars of a Christ-centered life. And so each of those different points, we're going to go through them one by one, step by step. And, of course, the first one is the path or the road less traveled. Verse 1. Blessed is the man. Now I'm going to stop right there. Blessed. Where have we seen that before? Where have we discussed that? Did you get a chance to listen to, or maybe you were at the breakfasts just recently where we spent three different group sessions on the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This word, blessed, meaning, oh, how happy. Understanding that it is mentioned in Scripture over 500 times. I don't have the time. So I'd love someone else to do a study on all of them so we can just read through the bullet points, all the different ways that we be blessed. Of course, if you're in a Pentecostal church, you'll hear that a lot from the platform. But understand what I'm talking about here, what Scripture is talking about. It's not blessing of or in or through the world. It's blessing of God through Him for us. And that begins without question, of course, when we are first saved, when we are born again. So I want to just point out, this was written, not even interesting enough, not as instruction. This is a psalm. This is a verse. This is a poem, a song perhaps. But we know from Scripture that it is also good for instruction in righteousness. Blessed is the man. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to be this man. And of course, ladies, if you're listening as well, understanding that I am talking, speaking this to a men's group. But this is, blessed is the woman. Blessed is the teenager. Blessed is the son. Blessed is the daughter. Blessed is the person who walks not. So for us, before we even move on, what we see here is this is how we can find true, genuine joy in Christ. If you haven't listened to those videos on the Beatitudes, please do so afterwards. But here we have instruction, unlike the Beatitudes. It's actually the exact opposite. In the Beatitudes, we say, blessed are if you do this. Blessed if you think like this. Blessed if this is you. This is the opposite. This is blessed if you do not. Because we can learn from history both what is right and good to do, both what is also right and wrong and not to do. Here we see a little bit of both, which is why it is such good instruction. So this person, this man, this can be you if you will put yourself in their shoes. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I see that, and straight away, sitting in the seat of the scornful, it made me think of many years past, before I was following Christ. Sitting around the lunchroom at work, and I was involved in, at the time, management in a big supermarket chain, and we would just have a whinge fest. We would whinge and we would complain. We'd complain about our bosses. We'd complain about our staff underneath us. We never complained about each other because we were the group. We were the guys. And we were just, well, we were scornful. We were making fun of. We were ridiculing. We were putting others down. You know, the tall poppy syndrome, we call it here in Australia. Anyone who is doing well, cut them down as quickly as we can. That's a classic example of what this is. And what we are not to participate in, blessing comes from that. It's about us, and verse 1 does this. It's urging us to choose a righteous path, God's path, over the way of the world. It's about making deliberate choices of the things that we do that align with God's will and God's way and not our way. It's about the importance of discernment, the importance of integrity, that thing that, you know, maybe your church going at the time, but when you're not with your church mates, you're someone different, perhaps. It's talking about that and not being that. It's being authentic in Christ. And as I read through this, it also made me think about another poem, if I can say that, being that a song is a poem. And something I wouldn't usually do, and I'd not done it before, is bring in words of men when I'm preaching words of God. But we, as men, we need to also understand, as men, that we can speak to each other as men to emphasize the word of God. So allowing that, if you would, for one moment, I'm going to read to you here a quick poem, something which I spent many, many years studying this kind of stuff in my younger days. And it's called The Road Not Taken from Robert Frost. But when I read this verse 1, straight away, it made me think of this. And this, interesting enough, has been for over now 35 years, my favorite poem of all time. I don't have many. I think I have two. This is one of them. Let me just read it, and then I'm going to point out and illustrate some amazing, interesting, curious thoughts of it. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. It begins, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry, I could not travel both and be one traveller. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent into the undergrowth, and then took the other, just as fair and perhaps having the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. And I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by, and that has made all the difference. So when I say here in verse 1, this is telling us what not to do, it's based on a decision. Two paths, if you would, two roads. We're talking about the highway, the easy way, or we're talking about the narrow path. We're talking about the wide gate, or we're talking about the narrow gate, scriptural references. Here we see a man who sees these two different paths. The choice is before him. And he looks at one of those choices. He looks at the worldly way, the choice of the easy way, the path which had been worn more, taken by more people. He looks at it as far as he could. But then he looks at the other and chooses to take it for no other reason than the fact that not as many had taken it, because it was grassy and it wanted wear. And then we have this interesting dilemma that he hits in the middle. He says, oh, I kept the first for another day. The one that he didn't take, he keeps it in the back of his mind for another day. We might come back if we don't like this one. No. Wrong, folks. Wrong. We should never, once we walk that path of Christ, think it's okay to come back to the worldly way. No, wrong. But he then says, after he has this moment, this brain lapse, of thinking, should I go back? Take the easy way? No. He says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled by. And what? And that has made all the difference. And folks, that's what it is for us. We look. The world's way, it's beautiful, it's pretty, it's easy, it's popular. The way of God, not always so easy, certainly not so popular. It is less traveled, but it is blessed. That's what I want you to grasp hold of today. It is blessed, and it comes from a decision, and I want you to make that decision now, if you haven't already, the decision to not just believe in Christ and the resurrection, but to follow him down the narrow path, the way less traveled. That's what I want, folks. And so how do we apply this in modern context? Well, where do we get our truth from? Is it from the Bible? Is it from the Word of God? Or is it from some social media influencer? I hate that term. I'm old school. But we must stop and we must think, is this the right thing to, one, do, two, say, three, think? We have to start taking control of how we feel about things and align our feelings with God's will and God's word. And so I say to you, if you haven't already, grab your phone. At minimum, get a Bible app. Put it on your phone. Make sure in your local church you're in at least one, what we call a small group or a connect group, so you can connect with other people. And then find someone, please find someone in your church, or at least someone somewhere, a good, strong man or, ladies, a woman of faith who you can take your questions to. Because understand that there's going to be questions when you choose for that first time to take the narrow path. there are going to be questions. Verse 2. But his, who's? The man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Oh, how hard this was for me when I first chose and made a decision to start following Christ. He delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law, that's God's law, he meditates day and night. Now, there is this myth, this misconception in the modern church, especially in Pentecostal churches, that the Old Testament isn't relevant. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that he did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. The law and the prophets. That's all of these words. Remember, at that time, the New Testament didn't exist. When Peter and Paul and James, when they were putting together, and Luke, and when they were putting together the New Testament as we have it now, it didn't exist. They only had the law and the prophets, which explained Christ. And as Jesus said, he didn't come to do away with it, but to fulfill it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? You probably know this one. He is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ. Therefore, we also see in Romans 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation to those, listen carefully, who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the key. Who do not walk. They're avoiding those things in verse 1. Now, they're walking in the Spirit, verse 2. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, Paul was writing this, but it applies and is also you as a follower of Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, he writes. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. So what we need to understand when it comes to meditating on the law, in this context, it was the law and the prophets as they were given, written at that point of time, the Torah. We need to understand that we are not bound by the ceremonial or the civil laws of the Old Testament in the same way that the Israelites were. That's important. But instead, as we learn in Matthew 5, the whole thing, we are called to live out the moral principles, the moral precepts of the law as fulfilled and taught by Jesus, because we are now in him and he is in us. Let's just jump very quickly. Matthew 22, bookmark Psalm 1. We're coming back to that. But Matthew 22, verses 36, 37, one of the scribes, I think it was, or the Pharisee, says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He's trying to, you know, let's get him to make a mistake here so we can criticize him. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And if you're a member of my local church, you'll know that that's written right there on the wall. Right there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbors of yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So that's what I say to you. Yes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. We are called to live out the moral principles of the law. Just read Matthew 5. The Sermon on the Mount begins with this huge section where Jesus explains the heart of the law. Interesting. I'm doing a series on that right now in my videos. So here in verse 2, we are told that we are to delight in the law of the Lord. This word explains it to you. We are to delight in it. Contentment, folks. And I'm just going to, it's a talk on its own. Contentment is the key as to what is missing in most of our lives. Joy and blessing from God comes, but we must be content. content with what we have. Paul wrote, be happy with, be happy without. I've lived myself, both with and without, when it comes to the things of this world, the finances, the money, the stuff. Interesting, and this is not relevant to everyone by any means, but I found in my deepest, darkest hours, when I had literally lost everything, I found greater joy and fulfillment in God than any other time. And I thank God that now I've not lost that, since I have gained some of those other things that he has blessed my family and I with. But delighting ourselves in Scripture, it transforms our hearts. It transforms our minds. How is it you can have two different people have the same thing happen to them, and yet they both think two totally different things about it? It's about how they think and how they feel. Folks, you want to get the Word of God into your heart and into your mind. And we must be careful now in this modern age where smartphones, they're like an extension of our arm. So we should use it as such and indulge ourselves daily, multiple times a day, with reading of Scripture through an app or listening to it through an app. Sometimes I'll just press play, read this to me, and I've got my earphones on. We've got access to podcasts, to sermons, to study groups, to so much more. Never before in any time in history for the Western world has the Bible been more accessible than it is right now. And yet, we're reading it less. Now understand this. There are actually, because of apps on our phone, there are actually more people looking at the Bible, but they're spending less time reading it. A verse a day does not keep the doctor away. It makes you feel like you've done the right thing. I want you to delight yourself on it, to meditate on it, to give yourself thought to it, to actively seek joy in God's Word, allowing it to transform you, understanding that sometimes, yes, that can hurt, and we feel it. Oh, Lord, it hurts to recognize this part of myself. Yes. But forgiveness comes. It has been received. It is there in Christ. Father, I don't want to feel this. Fill me with your joy. That's where we are sometimes. I get it. Oh, I get it. But I promise you, on the other side of that is such great joy and fulfillment and contentment that it does pass understanding completely. It comes from a complete heart change. Verse 3 says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This tree, these rivers of water, this is the key. Matthew 13:23. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Remember the parable? He who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. The word of God, produces fruit in our lives. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. In John 15:16. And I want to read because it just is so beautiful and so relevant to us as men. In Luke 13:6-9, and he, Jesus, spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, but found none. And he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up space? Waste of space. Ever had someone say that to you? But then the keeper of the vineyard said in verse 8, sir, leave it alone this year until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, great. If not, then we can cut it down. This word, the Bible, this thing right here that I'm holding up in front of you, this thing that I'm calling you to spend time day and night looking at, considering, just grab a verse through the day and remember it and let it come up and think about it and question it and ask and go to your mentor, go to those who, the man who, or the woman who is discipling you. What does this mean to me? How can I apply it? This is fertilizing. And for you men in the men's group that I am currently part of, I say to you this. I want to fertilize that ground around your feet. And I will keep doing that as long as you keep coming to our meetings. Because that can produce good fruit. That's what I want to see in you. Good fruit. John 4:14, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well said, "Whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." That's what I want for you. I want that, those rivers of living water to be fertilizing you with the word planted in your heart. That's what I want. And so here in verse 3, we see a life that is thriving, that is planted on God's word. This leads to both stability, it leads to the ability to bear fruit in all seasons, the good and the bad. As Paul said, I'm happy with and happy without. Fruit bearing no matter what. And if there were ever a better illustration, it would be the life of Joseph, which you can read about in Genesis 37 through to 50. Sold into slavery, literally went from the pit to the palace, but remained faithful to God. His steadfastness and his ability to remain faithful, no matter the difficulty of the circumstances, the blessing was directly tied with his relationship with God. Yes, understand that. The blessing, blessed is the man, directly tied to that relationship with God. So you need to put yourself in a place where you can be fed, especially if you're new to the faith. Oh my. Feed yourself daily with the word also. Understand that this is a relationship with God, with you, with him. Part of it is to offer support also and to encourage others. So be proactive in your daily worship, daily prayer, daily study, daily. Now, I say that because now, after more than a decade of not being able to do daily and condemning myself for it, something happened during COVID where we had nothing else to do, and I picked up the word and started studying it fresh all over again. Now daily, wasn't always like that. So don't beat yourself up if you miss one day. His mercies are new every morning. Start the next day, get up again and go, okay, Lord, help me this time. So what do we take home from this? I'm going to wrap up. What do we take home from this? Three things. Things we should avoid. Things we should do. And then how often we should do them. They are the three things. We must avoid walking that same road. The sameness, the sea of sameness, I heard someone once say, just for the sake of it's easy and it's popular. And we must take the road less traveled. We must also read our Bible more. Fall in love with it. Think on it. And if you don't understand it, that's fine. I've heard some say, and I profoundly disagree with this, here's a Bible, study it, when asked about a Bible study. Wrong! Come to the men's breakfasts. Find a good teacher. Be careful, though. Be careful of so many false teachers on YouTube. So many. They tickle our ears with things that sound good, but they're not. Which is why we need to know and study our word so we can understand. This is why it's so important we do connect with someone in our local church, face to face, whom we can talk to and question. And understand. And that leads to point 3. Get planted. Connect all different ways. His word, his music, his people. Get connected. And I think more importantly, if you don't yet have a desire to do these things, and that's okay, pray that you would have that desire. Because that is the desire which comes from Christ. And I promise you, just as Scripture says, if you ask for wisdom in understanding His Word, He will give abundantly. Pray for the desire to study and understand His Word. He will give it to you. I guarantee it. Because that is His will for you. When you pray, do so in the name of Jesus. All right, folks, thank you so much for taking the time to join with me. I hope you've gotten something from this. I hope it's inspired you. I hope it's encouraged you. I pray your blessing, that God will just bless you for this week coming, this month moving forward, and that you'll have some great stories to share about how the Word has changed things in your life. God bless. Talk soon. Bye-bye.